This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
He made this connection over the weekend.
Hillary Clinton just ordered $90 million worth of hit ads on Donald Trump. And it's hit ads on Donald Trump and women.
In the history of politics, Hillary Clinton's husband abused women more than any man that we know of. In the history of politics, right? I mean, have you ever read what Hillary Clinton did to the women that Bill Clinton had affairs with?
Do you remember the famous, I did not have sex with that woman, and then a couple of months later, I'm guilty.
He was impeached for lying about what happened with a woman. And she's going to take ads about little Donald Trump? I don't know. I don't think so.
She's playing the woman's card so much and so loud. She's going to get hit for it because it's not appropriate. Yeah.
She was an unbelievably nasty, mean enabler. And what she did to a lot of those women is disgraceful. So put that in her bonnet and let's see what happens, okay?
Well, you know... He is the counterpuncher, Scott. You know, she played that card, and she thinks people are going to forget about it. And you got to know that the gals that have been so celebrated, I guess in a sense, and not celebrated is not the right word, but, you know, have had to deal with this stuff, you know, from Paula Jones and on and on. I mean, gosh, it's just one train wreck after another, and for her to try to play that card and, you know, against Donald Trump, I don't know. I mean, he's got a big microphone, and not to mention a big microphone, but it, you know, the history, it's not like people, you know, have totally forgotten. You know, that's why I mentioned earlier in writing this article about why I cannot vote for Hillary is when you think of all the scandals that her and Bill have been involved in. I mean, is that really what we want? You know, we want that back in the White House again? Because one of the things, you know, sociologically that very little has been discussed because everybody wanted to hold on to Trump at all. I mean, Trump hold on to Clinton at all costs because of the economy and what the, you know, the Clinton administration had done for our country. But see, some of the things that they forget is that part of what, you know, helped as far as the budget and the economy was what Bill Clinton did with the military. He really blighted it. You know, we closed down bases. We cut back budgets so significantly so that when we needed to go to war in 2001 after 9/11, you know, we're sending our men and women overseas to go to war. And, you know, what did they have in hand? I mean, they're sending letters back home and saying, hey, look, go to Home Depot and get sheets of metal and send it over to us and stuff. I mean, this was absolutely incredible. I mean, we were able to, you know, finally fill the void. But, you know, it was pretty risky what we were exposing our kids to over there because our military had been so blighted. And here we are again. Barack Obama has done everything he can. He's blighted the military. We've got so much equipment that needs to be replaced. You know, quality people. I think more importantly, I think of the people, the resources that have gone out, you know, through the exit door. We've lost some good people during this administration. We're going to pay a huge price for this. But, of course, that's going to be coming up, you know, as part of the debate as well. But this issue of Hillary Clinton trying to talk about, you know, the war on women and Trump and, of course, his numbers with women, the way he's been framed and maligned on this issue. You know, it's like, wow, that's a, you know, pretty crazy card to play on her part because you knew that Donald Trump was going to punch back and punch back hard. But they're going to spend a lot of money trying to make Trump look bad on his war on women. But when you look at him,
practically his history and what he's done within his company, how he's compensated women and helped them, help raise them up as part of his organization, including his daughter. It's been most commendable. So the facts sometimes bear in contrast to what some people would try to insinuate.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. It's just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. And if you want to drop me an email, we'd love to hear from you. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Well, after the presumptive GOP presidential nominee, Donald Trump, gave a much-anticipated foreign policy speech, not only were world leaders, policy leaders, paying attention, but so were former lieutenants and military advisors. One of those was Scott Mann. He's a former lieutenant colonel and Green Beret, CEO of Mission America, and author of the best-selling novel Game Changers. And we're fortunate enough to have the lieutenant colonel with us right now. Scott, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Always good to have you with us.
Hey, Bill. Thanks for having me. As always, it's an honor to be on with you.
Well, I got to tell you, Scott, you know, we were waiting with much anticipation to see what Donald Trump would have to say. I mean, Donald Trump's a businessman. How is he going to, you know, formulate a credible foreign policy when he's not even on the job? I think it's one thing to learn by on-the-job training like what this previous administration has put us through. But here again, we've got somebody that doesn't understand the military, wasn't even in the military, and now he's spouting off policy. I get a little nervous there. I don't know about you.
Yeah, this is such an important question, and you know, I can't watch politics anymore, Bill. But I did force myself to watch last night with the the acceptance speech from Mr. Trump. And I tell you what concerns is when I hear things like, we're going to have to go in and defeat ISIS quickly. You know, what that tells me is an inability, or at least right now he doesn't understand this threat. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That worries me. When I hear people say things like, we're going to roll in and we're going to defeat ISIS quickly, we're going to bomb the hell out of them. Mm-hmm. That's what we were saying after 9/11, and this has been going on for 15 years. And I'm like you. I share your concern that our senior politicians, not just Mr. Trump, but all of them are once again listening to the same tired policymakers who got us in this mess, and they're not taking the time to get deep and understand the nature of this enemy and what it's going to take to beat them.
Colonel, fundamentally and systemic, I have seen a problem with our foreign policy, our military strategy, you know, dating back at least to Vietnam. I was a Vietnam era vet, stateside, but I was stationed in the Joint Public Affairs Office at Camp Pendleton, California. So I saw some things, and just from what I was able to see, I'm going, we don't know how to fight a war, or we just don't want to fight a war, or we got the wrong people fighting the war. There's too many civilians involved that are operating in the theoretical and ignoring the empirical evidence.
Right.
And I'm not sure much has changed since then.
I don't think it has either, and thank you for your service. We don't say that enough, especially to our Vietnam era veterans. And You know, what I'm seeing right now, Bill, is this, is that this enemy that we are up against, and one of the chapters in my book, Game Changers, one of the game changers is meet them where they are, not where you want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And what I have found in this war since 9/11, and you're right, I mean, even before then, is we have a habit of trying to put a square peg in a round hole. Or said another way, we like to project our Western way of warfare onto every situation.
Exactly.
And if you're not going to embark in total warfare, in other words, if you're not going to literally use the Clausewitzian form of just attriting everything, you know, smoking ruins and salt in the earth, then you've got to look at reality when you go into these places, and we're not doing that. We're just mm-hmm. trying to put a Cold War approach to war fighting onto a tribal society, Bill, and it doesn't work.
Well, as you mentioned, which is so important here, Colonel, is that, you know, we just do not have a true understanding of who ISIS is, the Middle East conflict. I mean, these conflicts have been going on for thousands of years. The Sunni-Shia conflict that,
right.
you know, some even want to ignore. When I was in Israel in January, there was one reporter that tried to tell me the Sunni-Shia conflict was really a non-deal. I go, boy, that's not anything that I've been told, and even talking
right.
with other people there in Israel, they disagreed with him. And this guy is a formative senior reporter, and so I was really surprised to hear him say that. So obviously, I mean, if he's there and he's in the midst of this, even they can misunderstand what's going on.
Right, and as I've been going around since the attacks on San Bernardino, I think you and I have talked about this several
mm-hmm.
times, our nonprofit Mission America, we've been going around the country doing Victory Garden tours, named after the World War II citizens who grew food to help feed the troops, and mm-hmm. try to get that all in mindset. And I'm telling you, I've trained FBI, I've trained law enforcement, I've trained special forces, I've talked to people in town halls, Bill, and I will tell you that most people I talk to do not know who ISIS is and what they're all about and what they're after. They don't know about their doomsday mindset and their apocalyptic view on the world and what lengths they'll go to here in the United States to draw us into a set piece battle. They want us
yes.
to come after them with all 4 feet. That's their plan. And
right.
so when I hear things like Mr. Trump saying, we're going to bomb the hell out of them, or, you know, we're going to put more boots on the ground, I get that. We do have to go after these guys and we do have to kill some of them. But if we just basically stir and repeat 9/12/2001, we are going to be in a much deeper quagmire than what we are right now.
You know, Colonel, nothing's really changed. Let's go back to the early 1800s, I think about 1810, when it was Thomas Jefferson and John Adams going to Tripoli and talking to the potentate there, and who was a Muslim. And this is, you know, before, you know, the president said, look at, you know, this is a fait accompli. They just, they're going after world dominion. There's really just no place for them. So, we have to do what we have to do because they're doing what they say they need to do, and they figure, you know, they've got nothing to lose, because if they die they're going to heaven, so this is a religious ideological battle. And so the president said, hey, time to send in the Marines, let's go, let's take care of this deal. And that was then, and here we are now, and we're faced with the same problem, and somehow we're ignoring history.
We are, and I think the other thing that we're ignoring is when I talk about, you know, seeing the enemy for who he is, you know, one of the greatest vulnerabilities, Bill, or the Achilles heel that groups like ISIS have is that they practice what my friend Dave in one of those three-letter agencies in D.C. calls horrorism. Mm-hmm. They don't practice terrorism. They practice horrorism. In other words, terrorism is the application of violence against civilians to change a political outcome. Horrorism is the application of horrific violence against locals to achieve social control.
Mm-hmm.
And where these guys set up shop in places like Sunni Iraq and Pashtun Afghanistan and the tribal areas of North Africa, they go into areas and they practice this horrific social control, and they treat locals, Bill, terribly.
Yes.
And there is a real potential, and I talk, this is the theme of my book, Game Changers, to mobilize these local clans and tribes to fight back against groups like ISIS. And we're not doing it. These are some of our best hopes at defeating this enemy where they live and operate in their sanctuary, And we're not even leveraging them right now.
Scott, why aren't we seeing that? I mean, is it just because, there's too much civilian input? I mean, I've maintained, and you and I have discussed this before, is that you have to get to a point where you just realize you're not the one with all the goods, and we got to let the military people who are the experts do their job, and then we get behind and support them. Scott, let me just say this on this note, because we've got to go to break. I want you back on the other side after this short break here, and we'll pick it up from there, okay? We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Scott Mann. More from Scott right after this. Stay with us, America. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
This report is brought to you by Anheuser-Busch. With the arrival of spring, we've officially entered the start of prom and graduation season. This is an exciting and monumental time in a teen's life. It's also an ideal time for parents to talk to their teenagers about underage drinking so that they have a safe and memorable experience. This year, Anheuser-Busch has partnered with world-renowned comedy theater enterprise, The Second City, to create a series of short and relatable videos to encourage parents to talk with their teenagers about drinking and making responsible choices, specifically around prom and graduation season. According to the GFK Roper Youth Report, parents are the number one influence when it comes to their children's decisions on whether or not to drink alcohol underage. Katia Zastro, Vice President of Corporate Social Responsibility, Better World for Anheuser-Busch.
Our number one goal is to arm parents with educational information and content that helps fuel open and honest conversations with their children about underage drinking.
For parents who have questions on how to approach their teens or don't know where to start, visit FamilyTalkAboutDrinking.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
A good stove is at the top of the list for any serious survivalist. That's why you have to see the full range at emberlit.com. Simple, elegant, but extraordinarily efficient. Available in titanium or stainless steel, the Emberlit line of stoves are ultralight, pack flat, and work great. Fueled only by sticks and debris, from emergency situations to long-term survival, Emberlit stoves are up to the task. Emberlit, the most convenient, easy-to-carry wood stoves on the planet. See them all at emberlit.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
You've reached Bill Martinez live.
It's not the same. Ooh, it's not the same.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. We're live, and we're talking with Lieutenant Colonel Scott Mann. And Scott is helping us understand what is going on in the area of our foreign policy, the military apparatus today. We were warned in the days of one Dwight Eisenhower, who went on to become president, and of course, a World War II hero, who said that we had to beware of the growing military-industrial complex. And it seems that since then, Scott, they've done everything to squelch it to such a degree it's been to our injury. I think there is a time and season when you need the military, and you need them full force, not with conditions of enforcement or conditions of engagement that do not give us a fair chance to be successful at victory.
Yeah, I agree that the application of, well, first of all, the military-industrial complex is alive and well, and it is a real problem. And again, what I talk about in my book, Game Changers, the top-down approach. This is one area where I will draw a bit of a distinction from what you said. I do believe the military needs to be able to take the gloves off and do what they do. However, we need to orient that application, Bill, against the vulnerabilities of the enemy. And where the enemy is vulnerable is at these local levels where they, as we were saying, you know, before the break, where they horrifically put their foot on the throat of locals. And there are a lot of locals who will stand up against them and fight them. We saw this in Afghanistan. Actually, ISIS was their original, you know, ancestors or predecessors were defeated in 2006. Al-Qaeda in Iraq by that very movement, the Sons of Iraq program. So this bottom-up approach does work. It's when we try to come from the top down with hundreds of thousands of troops, tanks, drones, B-52s. This does nothing but drive those violent extremists into the arms of a sympathetic populace like ticks and a shaggy dog. It's got to come from the other direction. It's got to come from the bottom up. Mm. And we've got to mobilize those marginalized clans and tribes and others in these dark places who, frankly, don't like the way ISIS and Al-Qaeda treat them. I will also tell you, Bill, that the same thing is happening here in our country, in our population, our Islamic population. This is exactly how ISIS will recruit there. They're doing it now in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and if we don't find a way to come in from the bottom up, they're going to do the exact same thing here, and we'll see San Bernardino, Paris, and Brussels play out here in the very near future.
Well, what you're saying, Scott, I get, and I agree with you, is that we're basically empowering the enemy with our own failed policies, aren't we?
Yes, we are. By using this top-down approach, we're actually fueling the enemy's narrative that Islam is under attack by the West, and it's the duty of every Muslim to defend it. We are feeding their narrative. And what we don't seem to understand is that where these guys set up shop, they go to these tribal populations where honor and shame and revenge and feud are the orders of the day. So when you go in there and you start dropping bombs, you know, from 30,000 feet into these tribal populations, yeah, you're going to kill some bad guys. But guess what? You just mobilized a collective application of tribal revenge that we don't even understand. And if you're not going to put the right people on the ground in those places to counter that with narrative and story and mobilize those people from the bottom up, you're actually helping ISIS recruit.
Well, Colonel, let's go back and revisit a little bit more of the Donald Trump speech. What Trump didn't say that warriors know. Break that down for us.
Yeah. What things like, again, we need to go in and defeat ISIS quickly. We need to bomb the hell out of them. What that tells me is that Mr. Trump does not fully understand this enemy, and that he is reverting to the tired playbook that every politician uses with boots on the ground and to demonstrate he's quote unquote doing something. What you're talking about right now and what every warrior knows is, look, our guys and girls have been deploying. Some of them are on their 11th and 12th deployment, Bill. Their families are strained beyond the breaking point, and they will keep doing what we ask them to do. But my thing is, can we get some politicians, including a president, that have a fraction of the courage and the aptitude and understanding of this enemy that the men and women that they keep sending to fight have? That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for someone who's going to roll their sleeves up, bring in some fresh blood who understand this enemy, who've been in the trenches fighting them, not these DC insiders, not these four-star generals who, frankly, you know, both, they were underwhelming. They didn't get it done. Let's get some fresh blood in here that knows this enemy. Let's name this enemy. Let's find out where he's vulnerable, which we already know, which is locally. And then let's go in and work from the bottom up over time, and we will defeat them. It can be done. We did it in Afghanistan. It's been done in Iraq. We're just choosing not to do it because it's not politically convenient.
Scott, here it is. I mean, 14 years of this Afghan war has been going on. There has been much to be learned, but are we learning the lessons that we should have in these last 14 years?
No, I don't think we are. And in fact, that's why I wrote my book, Game Changers. I mean, my son is going to go now into the Army and fight the war that I didn't finish. Now, I have a problem with that as a father, but I also have a problem with that as a military officer. I don't believe we've learned the lessons that work, Bill. That's why I wrote Game Changers in that book. You know, it's all about taking what worked and separating it from what didn't. We can't put it all up in the attic and just say Afghanistan was a failure. There were things that worked in those dark places where our advisors, our special ops, were working, and it was having an effect. And if we don't learn from that, in my opinion, we have blood on our hands.
Well, Donald Trump, I think, has some advantage here. He is a bit of a maverick, and some would consider a loose cannon. He's not a political. I mean, we've heard the language that he speaks can be rather tough and foreboding, even on our enemies, though they would cry out foul nothing about it. I mean, we've expended over $1 trillion on this war. We've lost good men and women in the process, and maybe in a way, he might be able to borrow something from the shadow of one Ronald Reagan. And as you'll recall, before he took office, Iran was holding hostages, and they released them, I think, before the inaugural address was finished, because they knew they didn't want to pay the price, because Ronald Reagan was going to come after him full force. Possibly Donald Trump has a little bit of that advantage right now, don't you think?
You know, you noticed in what I said, the only things where I was really critical of Mr. Trump was in kind of the discrete applications of his foreign policy. As far as his attitude and his philosophy, I like it. I like where he's going. I like the fact that he's going to come in and shake things up. I like the fact that he put NATO on notice. I worked with NATO in Afghanistan. They were one of the most dysfunctional organizations I ever saw. We paid the bill. They called the shots. And I don't like that.
Yeah.
So I'm a fan of his attitude and how he's coming. The only thing, and he has a copy of my book, by the way. The only thing I'm hoping is that he'll bring in some fresh blood and some fresh perspective on how to think about this enemy, and not be so quick to just do the conventional response, because that's what the bad guys want. I've been looking at this problem a long time, and every guy that fought these guys knows this. We're playing into their hands, and we're counting on Mr. Trump not to do that.
Well, Mr. Trump has been noted for, you know, surrounding himself around good people. I would say that he's been a good recruiter. He understands the people he's working with. I think, sadly, over the last decade, we've lost, I believe, some very valuable flag officers along the way. I don't know if they come back in, or like you say, there's just fresh blood that comes in, a combination of a formula there that involves some experienced flag officers, some officers there that could bring some new enthusiasm and some spirit into the whole process here. But I agree with you. I'm hopeful that Donald Trump, with all his experience, you know, building a business, whether it's the objective of the military, he knows what he needs to do in order to be successful. And I think he'll figure this out. And, you know, and this is what America is looking for. And they're hoping for, even though, you know, he's unlikable and all the ratings that they want to talk about his unlikability, it's still about the economy and it's still about our security, isn't it?
It is. And I would say, too, Bill, that I would ask every American listening to this to take a stand on this. I don't think we should sit idle, whoever gets to office of president, and wait for them to figure it out. You know, that's why Mission America has put forward the Contract to Protect America. It's at contracttoprotectamerica.org. It's 10 points that speak to what we've talked about here, very common sense based, and more importantly, it was derived from the lessons we learned on the battlefield, like you said, what every warrior knows. And so I would ask folks to go check out that contract, read it, share it with their tribe, and sign that sucker, because we're going to push it in front of Mr. Trump, whoever else is the presumptive nominee on the Democratic side. We need Americans to take a stand right now and demand a policy change.
And we got to link that on our site too as well. Scott Mann, former Lieutenant Colonel Green Beret, CEO of Mission America, author of the best-selling novel Game Changer. Scott, thank you so much for being with us.
This report is brought to you by Allegra Allergy. Spring is in the air. Unfortunately for allergy sufferers, so is pollen. Achoo!
In fact, more than 60 million Americans suffer from hay fever and other upper respiratory allergies. Allergy symptoms can lead to disruptions in our lives, interfering with everything from sleep to outdoor activities. It's important for allergy sufferers to manage these symptoms so they too can enjoy the sunshine. Allergist and immunologist Dr. Nita Ogden.
Spring can be a tough season for people with allergies, but that doesn't mean they need to suffer through it. I recommend that my patients create an everyday allergy plan to avoid their triggers. For example, checking the pollen forecast in the morning, changing clothes when they get home, and showering before bed. To relieve symptoms, I recommend treatment options that are available over-the-counter at prescription strength.
Allegra Allergy is an over-the-counter antihistamine that starts working in 1 hour, offering adults fast, non-drowsy relief from symptoms like itchy, watery eyes and runny nose. For more information, visit www.allegra.com.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors. Not available in all states.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
From Maine to Oregon and SoCal to Florida, Bill Martinez live.
God is on the move.
Live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Don't forget to send me an email, bill@billmartinezlive.com, if you want to be in the running for that DVD, Risen, of the movie Risen. It's going to be released on digital tomorrow, and then May the 24th, DVD, Blu-ray is going to be available to everybody. But you have a chance to get it free. Why not? Just send me an email. Martinez, put me in the running. Okay, just that easy. bill@billmartinezlive.com. You know, with many experts that I've spoken with and near and dear friends who study this all the time, you know, they've been questioning, you know, the quality of the food that we eat today. And I don't know if you asked this question yourself, but, you know, we've had this increase in cancer issues that have become more and more prevalent in our society. And I just keep asking the question, you know, where is it coming from? You know, why all of a sudden, and some say, well, we're better at diagnosing it. And I go, but there's something deeper in this. I mean, is it in the food we're eating? Is it the chemical exposure that we have today? You know, lots of questions remain. And our next guest, she's a food expert and also one that has been, you know, just on top of this, studying, you know, what is going on with the food table here in America. And, you know, the issue that has come up in a recent conversation is about Quaker Oats, claims to provide wholesome goodness. You know, we grew up with that. And according to a lawsuit from a Brooklyn man, customers could be getting more than they asked for in their Quaker Oats, specifically the carcinogen glyphosate. And Julie Kelly is with us right now. She's the one I was bragging on just a moment ago. And so she's a GMO activist, and she can help us understand what is going on with this carcinogen. Julie, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Well, this is an important issue. Lots of questions about our food table. You know, what is happening and the kind of food that's being presented to us. How much, you know, what are we dealing with here? Help us understand.
Well, let's back up. I know you had said glyphosate is a carcinogen. Only one agency has qualified or categorized it as a carcinogen, and it's under a lot of fire and criticism for the methodology that was used, and that was the World Health Organization Cancer Agency. So there's a lot of questions about how that conclusion came to be. But glyphosate is a widely used herbicide, mostly on genetically engineered crops, and it's under fire by anti-GMO activists.
Okay. So what do we know? I mean, are you saying that this is kind of like, a little bit like global warming? We got scientists not agreeing with this. Are we falsifying evidence here to blaspheme glyphosate unfairly, or what's going on?
Well, it looks like they cherry-picked a lot of data that they and you can look up my article last week on National Review online, where there's some issues of conflict of interest and campaigning by some of the scientists who sat on that panel. Mm-hmm. But just last week, the EPA released what they had called a final report on glyphosate. It was dated October of 2015, where they found it not to be carcinogenic. Also, the European Food Safety Agency found it not carcinogenic. So there seems to be a little bit of politics at play with the World Health Organization's categorization, classification of glyphosate. But now the anti-GMO activists are using that for lawsuits. The Quaker Oats one is a good example of that. Mm-hmm. They're using that classification to try to stop the use of glyphosate and really to stop the use of genetically engineered crops.
All right. So they're taking a stand against this based on dubious science then and dubious findings is what you're telling us. Is that correct?
Yes, that is true. In fact, WHO is meeting this week to reevaluate the toxicity of glyphosate. The IARC, the cancer agency of WHO, is under a lot of fire from scientific organizations around the world. And so, again, they were the only agency to find it carcinogenic, but it was really what I call a gift to the anti-GMO movement, because most other governmental agencies, scientific studies, have not found a link between glyphosate use and cancer. This was really the only one. So now it's being used in lawsuits. So Quaker Oats is being sued for their natural claim on their products, even though they use glyphosate to dry their oats towards the end. The oats themselves are not Roundup ready or glyphosate resistant, as they call it. Mm-hmm. But they use it at the end to dry the oats so they don't get moldy. Mm-hmm. So there's a lawsuit being filed really challenging Quaker's claim of being natural, since they use glyphosate towards the end. That's the crux of it.
Yeah, so now, this is the nature of this litigious society, and the anti-GMO movement, based on theory. They can, create a lot of havoc and chaos here. Fortunately, Quaker Oats Company is big enough, they can withstand this lawsuit. But they've got to fight it out, and now they've got to counter, this evidence and this, what's coming down to bogus science. I mean, it's a lot of this, the same stuff that's happening with, with climate change and global warming and all this, is mm-hmm. that you get this jury-rigged science. And, and then you got to be careful and say, okay, where's the government on this deal? Are they going to use our money like they did with, climate science and use it to promote a particular policy that is ill-founded, but yet, they're going to convert people over? And do you see that happening?
Well, I think now, let's be clear, who created glyphosate, how is it sold as Roundup? So that's the company Monsanto. Mm-hmm. So that's the boogeyman that all of the anti-corporate environmental groups are trying to target. And so, that's that's where this is headed. As far as food labeling, it's also the organic industry here in the U.S. that wants to steer consumers away from conventional foods or processed foods towards organic food. And so all of this is part of a fear campaign here. That's why a lot of them are trying to push GMO labels so they can try to convince consumers that that's not natural somehow. But it really has global consequences because it's stopping the use and application of genetically engineered crops in developing nations where it's really needed. Mm-hmm. Whether it's fortifying staple crops like rice or bananas or making the crops drought resistant, there's really such huge potential. And, you know, it's just being used as a political weapon, and it's really unfortunate.
Well, Julie, you've been studying this. Give people a little bit of your background. I mean, you're a homemaker, and suddenly you became kind of an activist. And you were just kind of forced into activism here because of what you saw as the injustice that was going on, you know, with GMO products, right?
Right. I call myself an accidental activist. I'm a cooking teacher. I teach cooking classes out of my home. I do have a political background. I was a political consultant before I became a full-time mom. And so I just kind of fell into this issue. I've done a ton of research, talked to scientists and farmers, talked to the other side. I visited Monsanto. I visited Purdue University. I'm really educating myself about genetically engineered crops. The problem, Bill, is that there are not enough voices on, say, this side of the issue to tell consumers the great promise and potential of genetically engineered modified crops, how great it's been for our agricultural community, how much better it's been for the environment. They've really fallen down, the biotech companies and the ag groups trying to explain this to people. And the organic industry, who's really fueling this anti-GMO movement here, has teamed up with environmental groups to scare people and misinform them.
So here we are back again. And the thing is, again, you know, I mean, for me, I get concerned because when you start getting this kind of divide going on, and fortunately, Monsanto is big enough, so they'll probably hold the government off at bay for a while. But it may even, I mean, hey, who would have thought the coal industry would be under attack the way it is? All of a sudden, they become the one that, you know, gets in the crosshairs of the federal government, and we start interfering there. And, you know, we're going to experience the same thing. Julie, we look forward to being in touch, staying in touch, and keeping us up to date as to what's going on this issue. Julie Kelly on Bill Martinez Live. It's 19 minutes before the top of the hour right now, America.
Suffering from illness or disease?
Frequently in pain?
Overstressed?
Always tired?
The solution is to oxygenate your cells because
disease cannot survive in an oxygen-rich environment.
Introducing Vital Ion, the first mineralized edible oxygen in the world. Go to toolsforfreedom.com and get the Miracle of Oxygenation DVD free with any Vital Ion purchase. Call 800-770-8802. That's 800-770-8802. Let Vital Ion edible oxygen be your daily fountain of youth.
This report is brought to you by Anheuser-Busch. With the arrival of spring, we've officially entered the start of prom and graduation season. This is an exciting and monumental time in a teen's life. It's also an ideal time for parents to talk to their teenagers about underage drinking so that they have a safe and memorable experience. This year, Anheuser-Busch has partnered with world-renowned comedy theater enterprise, The Second City, to create a series of short and relatable videos to encourage parents to talk with their teenagers about drinking and making responsible choices, specifically around prom and graduation season. According to the GFK Roper Youth Report, parents are the number one influence when it comes to their children's decisions on whether or not to drink alcohol underage. Katia Zastro, Vice President of Corporate Social Responsibility, Better World for Anheuser-Busch.
Our number one goal is to arm parents with educational information and content that helps fuel open and honest conversations with their children about underage drinking.
For parents who have questions on how to approach their teens or don't know where to start, visit FamilyTalkAboutDrinking.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything, your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-941-5257. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-941-5257. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-941-5257. That's 1-800-941-5257.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we don't diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, Bill Martinez Live is offering Clemson University's study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to BillMartinezLive.com, Longevity, or call 855-305-8326. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 855-305-8326.
Booyah! Just another Spanish love song.
Don't be afraid. You will not be hurt if you comply. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, just the way you like me, I'm fresh every day. Good to have you with us 3 hours from 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, and all the other times in between. Thank you so much for joining in on all the fun, but more importantly, on the information that you need to know about so you can make a decision that gets this country back on track where it needs to be. Curtis Ellis is with us right now. He's the executive director of the American Jobs Alliance, a columnist for WorldNetDaily.com, I should say. In previous lives, he adds that Mr. Ellis was a writer and producer for Lou Dobbs Tonight, CNN, NBC News, CBS News, Fox News, a reporter for Associated Press Radio, as well as a freelance writer. He hosted a nationally syndicated talk radio show himself. Curtis, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you with us. How you doing?
Great. A pleasure to be with you, Bill.
Well, let's talk about election 2016, America's first versus the third world's first. You know, an article that you wrote here recently, Phyllis Schlafly wrote about a choice, not an echo. And clearly, this 2016 election is giving us a clear choice if we have eyes that are open.
Yeah, I believe so. I think this is the clearest choice we've had in a generation, if not longer. Donald Trump is a nationalist. The choice is between nationalism and globalism. Donald Trump said he will put America first. The policies he propounds and he proposes would put the interests of Americans and American citizens first. Hillary Clinton is a globalist. Look, just look what John Kerry, her successor as Secretary of State, said. He said, prepare for a borderless world. Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, Barack Obama, even the Bushes, they're part of this same club, the New World Order, a world without borders where people, goods, and money just flow freely. And it doesn't matter if you're an American or a Bangladeshi, you all have an equal shot in this borderless world. That's globalism, and that's the choice we have in 2016.
Well, and the thing is that it started, well, this has been going on for quite a while because that's the way progressives work at things. They progress a little bit at a time. It definitely came out of the closet big time with, President Barack Obama, the just abject ignorance, and I don't mean ignorance from a standpoint of not knowing any better, just ignoring the issue of immigration, kind of giving it some lip service here and there. But at the end of the day, are we better off as a result of the policies that one Barack Obama has given us?
Well, we're not. We're clearly not. Look, he wants to increase the number of guest workers that come into this country. He wants to bring in refugees, whether they're refugees from the Middle East or refugees from Central America, refugees of gang violence. Well, why do we have gang violence in El Salvador? Why don't we leave it there? Don't bring them into this country. He's pitting American workers against some of the lowest paid people on the planet. That's not how you sustain a middle-class standard of living in America.
Well, it's almost as his policies have, you know, been set up against, you know, against the nationalism of America to purposely create chaos. And so then people say, well, why does he want to do that? What is the end game here?
The end game is what John Kerry said, a borderless world, to bring America to a submerge American nationhood into the bathtub of globalism. Look, he has said when he was in Europe a couple of weeks ago, he derided the idea of nationalism. He said people who cling to nationality, people who identify with their nationality, this is bad. This is, you end up with concentration camps if you do that. He doesn't believe in an American nation, and neither do his fellow travelers. And unfortunately, some of them, they self-identify as Republicans, but they're really globalists. Mm-hmm. They want to see no more United States of America, no more individual countries. They want to see a global order ruled from some corporate suite where there's no accountability, no ability for people like us to redress our grievances. There's nobody to go to. Who do you call? You can't call your congressman because congressmen don't matter anymore.
Exactly. Well, Curtis, you know, this is the very thing Ronald Reagan warned us about, that we're just but one generation away from losing, you know, our liberties and losing this great American experiment. And here we are. I mean, if his words do not echo through this 21st century, I don't know what does.
Well, that's exactly right, Bill. We're one generation away. And look, this is really nothing new. See, they try to cloak this, oh, with new technology, we live in a globalized world. Excuse me. 200-some years ago, there was a globalized world. It was called the British Empire. Mm-hmm. And our founding fathers decided we did not want to be part of that. We wanted our own distinct country. And we broke away from the global economy called the British Empire so we could set up our own rules, our own way of doing things, and what has resulted is the greatest country in human history.
Exactly. Well, Curtis, I mean, you look at little bonfires of this potential. Let's look at the EU. If they were so great, they would really be turning the world upside down, because it's kind of a microcosm of this one world government that they're hoping to create, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is. And there's two so-called trade pact on the table right now that Obama and Hillary and that crowd are pushing. One is the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and the other is the Transatlantic Partnership, which would merge the United States with the European Union. The Transatlantic Partnership would merge our economy with the European Union. This is the way they, as you said, progress. Slowly but surely, salami slice by salami slice, how they create this global order that would be the death, the graveyard of nations and the graveyard of American sovereignty.
And Donald Trump is seeing this very clearly, isn't he?
He is. He's saying, I'm against it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stop it. And look, again, 2 weeks ago, when Obama was in Europe, he and his trade representative, trade negotiator, said, we're not interested in trade agreements with individual nations. We want to create these platforms that other countries can join, like the European Union. Donald Trump says, scrap this, get rid of Obama trade, get rid of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, forget it. Let's do trade agreements with individual countries that share our values.
Exactly.
That's the way to go, and Trump is very clear about it.
Well, you talk about promoting the free enterprise system and capitalism to as much as they can handle it. within the context of their own individual governments. I mean, this is what, you know, what would serve everybody and individual nations more productively, you know. And it seems to me, Curtis, the evidence is empirical, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Look, the bigger you get, the bigger and bigger these things get, the bigger government, the bigger combination of governments, the further away you get from the basis of free enterprise, which is the individual ownership of property. You want as many people as possible to have a stake in the game, to have skin in the game, to own their property, to own their business. The vision of these globalists is to have these anonymous, faceless corporations owned by who knows who, run by who knows who, run by people who don't own it, and that's what we're seeing. And look, the big government scam is that, oh, well, we're going to have government regulate these corporations and regulate business. Yeah, well, it's the big guys who sit down at the table and write the regulations, and they write the regulations to keep little guys and startups out, to erect barriers to entry, to prevent small people from competing with them. And they sell it to us, oh, well, we're keeping you safe.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. They're keeping us safe like what they're doing in Flint, Michigan, as you write. You know, before NAFTA, cars were made in Michigan, and you couldn't drink the water in Mexico. After NAFTA, the automobile industry moves to Mexico, and you can't drink the water in Flint. I mean, what does that tell us?
Yeah, that's how. And then Hillary tells us, oh, well, it's all about racism. No, the reason they can't drink the water in Flint is because the automobile moved to Mexico because you and your husband gave us NAFTA. And so now she says she's going to put Bill Clinton in charge of creating jobs, bringing jobs back to communities that have lost their manufacturing. Well, that's like putting a pedophile in charge of a Girl Scout jamboree. He's the guy responsible for the manufacturing being gone.
Yeah. But you know what's going to happen there. The Clinton Foundation right now estimated to be worth about $2 billion. It'll become $8 billion really quick. I mean, you let them, you know, get control of these areas, and you talk about the quid pro quo that's been going on. I mean, Peter Schweitzer is going to have plenty more to write about if that, you know, if America makes that choice.
Oh, yeah, it's a shakedown racket. The Clinton Foundation is a shakedown racket that benefits them, benefits they go around the world shaking down billionaires and oil princes and corrupt dictators, put money into the Clinton Foundation. They, of course, skim a hefty sum off the top so they can fly around the world on corporate jets doing who knows what with who know who. Mm. And then they come up with these ridiculous, you know, schemes that, you know, may help a few people, but more often than not don't, but certainly help the well-connected.
Right. Well, what happened here, Curtis, when Bill Clinton and his administration pushed Congress to give China most favored nation trade status? I mean, we have this incredible balance of trade as a result. Jobs went from America to China, products now being produced out of China. You know, it's like China won, America zero here.
Yeah, totally. Look, Bill Clinton is revered as a god in China, right up there with Mao Zedong. With Chairman Mao, you got President Bill.
Mm.
This is the greatest transfer of wealth in human history. All of our capital built up over generations in America, our technology built by Americans, again, over generations, fled to China on a wholesale basis. Bill Clinton said, when we bring China into the Congress of Nations, into the World Trade Organization, give them most favored nation trade status, there's going to be a billion customers.
Curtis Ellis on Bill Martinez.
Diets to lose weight, right? You know, some of us have tried many of them. Well, at Bill Martinez Live, our healthy body weight loss system simply saturates the body with nutrition, bringing down cravings. It's been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Sweating during a good workout at the gym is a release of all 90 essential nutrients, leading to a further deficiency, causing an even greater craving for carbs, sugars, and fats. Diet and exercise cannot curb appetite like saturation of mineral vitamins, amino acids, and essential fatty acids. Stop the weight gain cycle and lose weight the easy way with properly blended, specifically targeted nutrition. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com, Longevity, or call 855-305-8326. Fighting cravings is a losing fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, that's 855-305-8326. 855-305-8326.